Blog Talk Radio.
Three-minute warning.
DFL, baby!
Tired of sitting on the sidelines? Want to be part of the game?
Be radical. The CFL is back and more radical than ever. The action never stops. It's hard-hitting, high-scoring football. Get in the game. Wear the ad.
Come on, go, go, go!
Be a fit. Be radical. CFL football. Get in the game.
You have a little popcorn?
You know what being down by 20 at halftime means? Sweet, diddly, jack, squat. Why? Because you can storm back. I know it, you know it, they don't. Tucked into their little beds tonight, they don't want to be haunted by you crossing that goal line. But it's time to give them a nightmare. And cross it.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Candid Frank, the CFL is the best football in the world show. I'm Frank, the true double blue Argo lifer Stanishi and the host of the show. Please welcome our co-hosts and friends of the show, Mike, the CFL is the best football in the world Townsend, and future owner Manasseh, harder to find than Waldo Giver Medine. Christopher, let's talk CFL and Lions Den Jones. Kelly, CFL know-it-all Bale. Bruce, the 13th man John Inch. Aaron, enough with the posting Macintosh. Gary, is it rock season yet, Groove? Stevie, the what else can I buy in Argo colors Richardson. Rob, the pistol J. Emery. Storm takes no Schmidt. Bill and Liam, the world travelers, and how? Serge, the CFL season ticket hoarder and collector, Duvidien. Derek, the bomber boot, Christopher. Kevin, Cheryl, and Cuddly Clan Kingsley. Kim, watch out, boys, Weaver. Debbie Riders, rule regardless, Wormsbecker. Donna, I will admin ya, Gale. Aaron William, the meathead Freeland. Jarrett, the roadie, and Box J Boy Harris. Leanne, Lease Girl, what am I doing here, Hockey? Steve, Rock and Roll Myers. Mike, Keeble Cable Cancellera. Reddit, retweet the show CFL every time. Aaron Russell, the organizer Nagy. Doug, look at the big lens and say cheese Lewis. Joe, I'm a like a Tulisan to the show Sardella. Danny E, likes caring for elderly. Salonen. Spike, I will nail you, Sutherland. Andrew, the graphic illustrator, Crump. Frank, the mascot, Kirby. Tony, I wish I could agree with you, Frank Dejeuner. Becca, I will deadlift you, Veludo. Tangerine, I have a dream queen. Annette and Paul, that's my beautiful son, Jason Pottinger. And finally, Randy, Captain Video Christinger.
We're the Argo Cheerleaders, and you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show.
We're the Argo Cheerleaders,
and you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show.
Yay!
Woo. Go Frank!
Go Frank!
Go Frank!
Go Frank!
I think we're all going to figure it out here over the next couple days. I think the main thing...
Well, this week is a bye week for the Argos, the rest to rest up and get healthier. Get the subs on the same page as Ricky and the rest of the offense. Number one, rookie Anthony Coombs, a bright spot for the in the lineup. Maybe shut down for the season, depending on whether he requires surgery or not. If it is healing and rest that is needed, Coombs will be back by the end of the season. With the Owls, let's let Jeff Garcia tell us his take on the Owls' offensive concerns.
I think we're all going to figure it out here over the next couple days. I think the main thing is Jim Pop reached out to me and just asked me, hey, what are you doing right now? Would you be interested in coming back, sharing some of your personal experience, your knowledge of playing the game and playing it successfully in the CFL as well as the NFL, but most importantly the CFL, and bringing back some of that experience, some of that fire that you have played the game with, that mentality, because something needs to happen here with this offense. Something needs to happen, a spark needs to happen where they need to bring it together, because that, as of late especially, has been not where it needs to be. And whether that's scheme or players or practice sessions, whatever it may be, somebody's got to figure it out.
You know, while he was at Brownie, talking about Jeff Garcia, he was one of my favorite players. I'm a huge Browns fan. You know, been that way since I was knee high to a cot. So, yeah, that's what it's been. More guys in the quarterback room. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. Great caliber guys that they're bringing along.
Corey Smith.
So, That's the funny thing you say that. I think we're at our sixth chair, so he'll be able to fit right in. He'll fit right in.
Yeah, he's going to have to fit right in, and hopefully he'll have that special tonic that'll turn the offense on in Montreal, which has been mostly in the off position. The Hamilton Tiger Cats, Quincy McDuffie, Special Teams Player of the Week. Boy, did he make a big splash in his first game, and is well worth the accolades. This guy is a stud, in my opinion. The Ticat defense is ready for the Lions this week, and they better be. In Ottawa, Siobhan Walker and Thomas DeMarco, two bright lights with the Ottawa Red Blacks, were extended, which is good news for the consistency on the team and, of course, the extended age of Henry Burris. In Calgary, after losing their first game, the Stampeders have no concerns of getting back on the horse and getting back into the win column. Coach Hufnagel knows that the team has been getting by on so-so offense that needs to get better, and he feels it will. In British Columbia, Travis Lule, wearing full practice gear, put some smiles on the BC fans' faces, and of course, even better, that win in Calgary, so all things are looking up in BC. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers, all you have to say about the Bombers this week is they really want to put the win in Winnipeg at Investors Group Field, among the claim that the loudest stadium in the CFL is the home of the Bombers. Riders, of course, will be doing their best to dampen the spirits in Winnipeg. The Saskatchewan Rough Riders, if you listen to Riderville fans and media alike, the problems are over the march to the 102nd Grey Cup in BC, which begins this week in earnest, in Winnipeg. The Edmonton Eskimos, after the bye week, the Eskimos are ready and raring to go against the Montreal Alouettes. The most important news is the 50-50 draw was picked up by the 20-year-old Connor Croken of Edmonton. The really good news is the additional proceeds raised through the draw will be given to the Edmonton Huskies, the Edmonton Wildcats, the University of Alberta Golden Bears, Football Alberta, and the Eskimo Alumni Association to support the growth and sustainability of amateur football in northern Alberta. The Edmonton Eskimos do not take a profit from the 50-50 program. CFL, baby. Think about that for a second, how great the CFL is. And Edmonton, your top-notch, top drawer, always have been a class organization. And this year, they're in the win column more than they are in the loss column. So that's pretty good, don't you think? Well, I forgot to mention, it was like $348,000, if you can imagine. Okay, Frank's feeling a little under the weather. He's probably feeling a little under the Riders. No, under the weather, that was it. Yeah, under the weather. So maybe we'll take a short break, and we'll come back with the gang. And let's start with this tiny little break to remind us what we're doing here.
One, two, three.
We're the Argos Cheerleaders.
And you're listening to the Candace Frank Live Show.
Oh, my God. One, two, three. We're the Argos Cheerleaders.
And you're listening to the Candace Frank Live Show. Yay! Woo. Go, Frank. Go, Frank.
Go, Frank.
Go, Frank.
There you go, Frank.
There you go.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, everything's cool. Everything's cool. It's all nice. All right. Let's see now. First of all, I'm not even sure who this one is. I got a mic on. Do you know whose mic's on? Look. Can you hear you're on? Is that you, Christopher? Or wait a minute. Maybe that's Manasseh. Is it Christopher or Manasseh? Going once, going twice.
Hello?
Is that you, Manasseh?
Yep. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah. Okay, welcome to the program, Manasseh. Also, welcome Bruce John Inch, Manasseh Gebremadin. And, of course, Bruce John Inch.
Aki wee wee.
And, of course, our buddy in Calgary who suffered their first loss, maybe not last. Maybe there's a string of losses in Stormy's. Maybe there's a string of losses coming Stormy's.
Another one coming up this week.
And of course, we have the little pistol.
What's up?
There you go. And we don't go anywhere without Christopher Jones. Now that his internet and his phone, did you get your phone back? Are you phone?
I have
a phone.
So if I die and disappear, please call me.
Will do. Just remember to Facebook me. You know I won't pay attention.
I know, that's the whole thing. That's why I'm telling you now. If I don't be gone, phone me.
And if I'm gone, I'm sleeping.
Yeah, I like, Frank, will you call
me?
And
I got to go at 11.
Okay. Gee, guys, you haven't even started yet. You're already telling me when you're leaving.
I know.
And, of course, one last person to mention, and that is, of course, Mike Townsend. Now, I did see Tammy's phone number up, but she... if she needs Tammy, if you want me to call you, I can call you, because if it saves you long distance, we have no problem here in calling you. That's why I have the 3-minute opening now. All right. So this week we're I guess into week 7. You want to start by talking about what you expect to happen in week 7, or do you want
to?
What do you guys feel
you,
like doing?
You're the host.
Okay. Okay, I'll pretend like I'm in charge.
That's a stretch.
There you go. See what I mean? Okay. So we've got, this is the first week, because Ottawa hasn't been home in a while, where we have no sellouts, first of all. So our first game
will.
Is...
Yeah, I think Ticats will be a sellout. But how many people can... No.
A sellout? You can't even fit... Friggin' 5,000 in that stadium.
Oh, he's
sellout.
It's not you anyway.
Tomorrow night's going to be a sellout in Winnipeg.
Yeah, I think
that'll be
Winnipeg
a sellout for
be
sure.
A sellout. It'll be a sellout before
that's
the game.
That's
going to
be an awesome game.
Now,
this afternoon they said they only had 800 tickets left. So
oh, that'll be gone. Yeah, they're gone now. By the time they said that, they were gone.
Yeah. I don't doubt that.
Now, these two teams and their fan groups have a... To say that they don't like each other, I think, is an understatement. I don't even know how to fit it in. I don't think there's a team that Winnipeg likes beating more than Saskatchewan. And I'm not sure about the other way around, but you're up that way, Manasseh. Would you say the hate on these two teams and their fan groups are about equal?
Uh-oh.
Manasseh disappear?
Yes.
Taking the Schmidt.
Yeah.
He's off
okay.
doing something.
Yeah, well, that's fine. Well, anyway, the word is that the Winnipeg Blue Bombers have the loudest stadium in the CFL. And as soon as that was mentioned, of course, a lot of Rough Rider fans said, no. Who agrees... I think it's the stadium. The new stadium is a great stadium for containing sound and redirecting it rather than deadening it or softening it. So there's an inherent advantage in Winnipeg, in my opinion, as far as, you know, being louder. It's structurally enhanced.
Canadium was the loudest stadium in Canada before the rebuild. Okay. That was already proven.
Okay.
Saskatchewan is still louder than Winnipeg. Well, that's my opinion.
I think on an average, yeah. Winnipeg gets loud when they start winning. But Saskatchewan's always loud.
Yeah, because they're drinking Pilsner.
Winnipeg's always louder. Saskatchewan's because the stadium, the way it's designed, the noise just, it doesn't bounce back down to the field.
Yeah, that's my point. And that, you were away. That's what I was saying. Is that the stadium? It's cool. You just agree. The stadium was built to ensure that the sound, the engineering of the roof was designed to enhance the sound on the field. It was done that way. It was intended. It was planned.
Bounces off of it.
Yeah, and is redirected to the field.
Exactly. Yeah. Great idea.
You guys remember last year when they opened the stadium, TSN had a guy standing on the sideline with a decibel meter, and they
That's
had
right.
a little chart, and they said like 109 decibels is a rock concert, 115 is a jet engine. And last year's Banjo Bowl, they had the decibel meter out again. I think they hit about 116.
Wow.
On the decibels. Yeah, so it's – and whenever it's the Riders, Bomber fans, it just amps it up, you know, 10 times
oh,
more.
Oh, yeah. It's
so
like the Canadians and the Leafs, for those
yeah,
of
exactly.
you that know hockey.
Yeah, yeah.
it's the exact same thing. And if there were people in Toronto, it would be the same thing with Toronto and Hamilton. So, but, you know, that is it is what it is. So, yeah, so it's going to be a great game. We'll do the regular thing with, you know, get you guys one at a time going. We'll start at the top of the list where Manasseh is. Okay, give me the high points in this game and what you think are the key things to look for in this game so that we have an idea who we think might win, so that we know who might win. And you're up
first. The matchup to watch is the O-line of Winnipeg versus Saskatchewan's defensive line. I think John Chick so far looks like he's the top defensive player of the year. And if he's able to get into that, you know, into Willie's face over and over again, similar to what happened when Winnipeg played Edmonton. If you remember, the Eskimos were just basically sacking Willie every other play, and he had no time to do anything, especially throwing the ball deep, which he likes. And I think the Riders can repeat that. So if that's the matchup to watch, whoever wins that battle, I think will end up winning the game.
The offenses for both the teams have been good. You know, obviously Winnipeg's has been a little bit better, but I don't think it's been much better. I think Willie's been, you know, has had more flair in what he's done, you know, with the late game heroics that he's performed this year. Once you remove those late game heroics, it's pretty even, even though Durant hasn't had the best of years. But the two defenses, I think, have been the real strength of both these teams, and I think you're right. You know, how the defensive line of Winnipeg behaves is going to be a big key here. And, yeah, it's going to be a fun contest. How about you there, Mr. Bruce John Inch? What do you see as the keys to this game?
This will be my favorite game in the West that is going to go on this week just because of the rivalry, like you said. I don't really have any personal stake or heartfelt stake in whoever wins. But I'm going to hope that Winnipeg wins. Just because Saskatchewan fans are a little, it just seemed to get their nose bent out of shape a lot. And I just like to see that once in a while.
Well, if
that's
you
my honest opinion, you know.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And if you listen
I'm
to
not,
what's
I'm not
going
saying
on
all
Saskatchewan,
Saskatchewan fans. I'm just saying from what I've
not.
Seen in the last couple of days, man, wow. They get bent out of shape real fast.
In Saskatchewan, the media and the fans have figured out that it's now just up to them making it to the Grey Cup. It's all just a matter of time. How about you, Stormy?
Well, it's one of those games where, you know, for my birthday tomorrow.
Again,
I'm
he mentions his birthday. Looking for birthday presents?
Well, I have to. I have to because nobody else will if I don't. But anyways. Getting back to the game, and it's going to come down to Willie, Durant, and Ford, plain and simple.
Okay.
And that's what it's going to come down to, and I don't want either one to win, so that's why I picked a tie. So there you go.
Okay, and it'll be the first one in like 4 years.
5 years.
Five? Okay, I stand corrected again.
But
how about you
there, I know we're not supposed to do scores right now, but anyways. But
Yeah. You keep wanting to do the scores. How about you, Christopher?
Okay, my internet is being flaky, so you may want to call me, but I'll continue with what we're doing. Both with this year, they've been playing Eastern teams. Both the teams that they played in the West, they got smoked by. Winnipeg did have a game against BC. Happened to BC, so I don't think Winnipeg was tested in that game at all. So both of these guys are bottom of the pack, in my opinion, although Winnipeg has a 5-1 record, which is just bizarre. But anyhow, I think this is going to be a really tight game.
I did pick Saskatchewan, although so did a lot of people in the pool, but there's a lot of people are flipping sides right now with this whole thing with Ty Smith being arrested, suspended, and removed. So not really.
I don't know that he's suspended. I just don't think he's available.
That makes a difference. Yeah, they suspended him today.
Oh, did they? Really?
Bring my mic live on the phone.
Oh, gotcha. And I'll shut down your internet.
Yeah, please. There we go. There. So, yeah, Todd Smith was suspended today by the Rough Riders. They did indefinitely. They do not have a time frame on what it is, whether it's one game or ten, but they have put him on the suspension list.
Yeah, well, he earned it.
He definitely did. So there's a big difference as to whether or not, whether or not that is going to affect the team in any way, shape, or form, whether it's going to get in their headspace and go on.
Affect.
So a lot of people are jumping ship. I think it's going to be a relief for a lot of the Rider players, personally.
Well, you see, That's what some of the Rider fans don't understand. They're not – all the players are not like him. There are players who like to go home, don't like to go to bars, don't like to be single and all that kind of stuff. They're married. They have families. They have a whole different look at the way life as a football player is. It's a whole different, situation. And it's like, maybe I can put it this way. If a player gets caught, carousing, right, it creates problems for all the married guys.
Well, of course it does.
Exactly. And
especially,
this is what people don't
especially
understand.
Especially in a visitor city, a foreign city.
Yeah. It shines a light they don't
Gatineau
want on.
He got caught in Gatineau in a strip club with another player. Okay, they didn't name the other player, but it was one of his teammates. So, this all of a sudden now all the wives are saying, okay, was that you? Was that you? Was that you? because the Riders didn't come home after this game. They stayed in Ottawa to practice, and then they're going to Winnipeg.
Yeah, they stayed there. They had a team meeting and all that stuff. Hey, listen, what he's doing, what he did, there's nothing wrong with what he did on its own. Let's be clear here. The problem is he did it at the wrong time. No, but he's just doing it at the wrong – like, he's being asked – he's being expected to behave, above repute, if you will, and he wasn't able to do it. And that's stupid.
Well, it's not even that, Frank. It's not the team asked him to be honorable and above repute. The court said stay out of bars, any establishment that serves alcohol. The court said that.
They gave him a new ultimatum now. Now he has to introduce – it's almost like when he goes into town, he has to tell the local constabulary that I'm here and I'm not supposed to drink. Watch me.
he has to carry his condition papers with him at all times.
At all times.
At all times.
It's almost stupid. It's almost stupid. But, it's not about
daycare.
It's crazy. But you know what? He got himself in a mess. Whether he deserved to be in the mess in the first place is not the question. The question is, once you find yourself in a situation such as he has to prove that he can be well above, what's expected of him. And he wasn't.
Okay.
And now he's going to pay.
But
it's just life. That's life.
Can you blame some of this on the Rider organization for not suspending
him earlier? No, I don't want to go there, Christopher. I've been spanked all day.
I just wanted to say a thing. If they had suspended him, he wouldn't have been in the limelight.
Oh,
and he wouldn't be breaking condition. And he probably would be a good boy.
Well, there is such a thing, and there is such a thing as enabling, and their behavior, the Riders' lack of willingness to treat this kid sternly. And I refer to him as a kid all the time because that's what he is.
He's 23 or something, isn't he?
Yeah, well, if they don't treat him sternly, then they're enabling him. If they're not sending him a clear message, this is why some people interpret what I'm saying as hating the Riders. No, it has nothing to do with the Riders, because we got a guy, Anderson, with the Argos, who was involved in the original situation. Trust me, folks, if he ends up in trouble the same way, you're going to hear me say the same thing. These are adults. I'm calling him a kid because he's behaving like a kid, not because he's not an adult, because he's behaving like a kid. He's been told to behave, and he chose not to because he thought he was in a different city.
the same thing just happened to in BC to Jabbar Westerman.
Yeah, well, there was no debate there. He was suspended. End of story. And let's move on.
Exactly.
Which is the way it should be.
Let's move on to another person on the Winnipeg Saskatchewan thing because we could be on this all night. It's not fair to everybody else.
No. I think we've made ourselves clear. I hope we have anyway, that this has nothing to do with the Riders. Absolutely nothing. This has everything to do with an individual who got in a situation where the law figures they need to watch this guy. They tell him they're going to watch him just to wrap this up, and he decides to do something as stupid as he's done. And it's ridiculous. You know, it's just stupid. But, you know, stuff happens. All right, bud, you're up next, Mr. Mike Townsend. How's it going, buddy? Saskatchewan, Winnipeg, how do you see it playing out, my friend?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, first off, I want to say good evening, fellas, and happy birthday to you, Smith. If I don't get a chance to talk to you on Facebook tomorrow, happy birthday. And is Winnipeg, Montreal, I mean Winnipeg, Saskatchewan. It's going to be a good game, man. I'm not really going to comment on the Winnipeg side because you know how I feel about Cool Hand Luke. You know what I'm saying?
Drew,
he's just going to go out there for
form. You can remind everybody
and,
how much you
Winnipeg
got
will go home with.
You got a guy love on the guy. I know it. You love the guy. You think he's awesome.
On the field, and they're going to really miss his absence. They're going to really miss him tomorrow, man. That deep ball, they're going to really miss him tomorrow. You're going to see it. This is where they need Todd Smith going against Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And he's not going to be there, and this is going to really hurt the Rough Riders.
They got a couple of guys, they got at least two that they can bring out that will surprise.
That's it.
You know, they got at least two that will surprise. All along, it's never been about the team. It's always been about Taj Smith and the team. They're a well put together team.
Frank?
Yeah. Oh, you can't hear me? Well, let's bring Manasse back in. Manasse,
you
there?
Open my mic.
Well, did I open yours? Oh, shoot. All right.
Me.
Oh, you're at the top now. Yeah, you moved up to the top of the list. Yeah, Manasse, you there? Yeah, I'm having trouble with Mike. With Mike the guy, not Mike the thing.
Right, no, I got you.
All right, so our next game that we can talk about, this is the one that concerns me. You know, guys, I've got you up there now, and I know how much you liked Vince Smith. Troy Smith. Vince Smith. How much you like Troy Smith. Manasse, this guy, you haven't been around for a little while. Give us your take on what's happened to him. Why do you think he's gone so flat?
I don't know. I think it's kind of the same story that happened to him in the NFL. I don't know if you remember when he was with the San Francisco 49ers. He came out his first two or three games and was really good. He had 300 yards and he was putting up good numbers. And then all of a sudden he had like three straight games where he was just throwing incompletions, missing receivers over and over again like you're seeing now. And the coach at the time, Mike Singletary, benched him, and I think that was the end of his NFL career. So you're seeing that same story repeat in Montreal, where last year, last three games, he put up nice numbers. He looked like he had some potential, and his inaccuracy came up again. And I don't know, man. If you can't hit an open receiver, there's just – I mean, I don't know how you can play as a professional quarterback. You know,
it is tough. And you know what? It hurts to watch. You know, he was playing my team, the Argos, last. And it was hurt me to watch how badly he was struggling. I mean, this guy has a rocket for an arm. You know, he has a pedigree. And some of us, like I'm looking, I'm going, well, is it possible that the coaching staff isn't using him properly? But, you know, the statement that you're making basically just says that maybe he puts too much – he comes in early and just does the job. And then all of a sudden, for some reason, he just – the switch turns off, and I don't know how it turns off on a guy with that much talent, how it quickly turns around.
Yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily like he turns off a switch. It's more like the defense gets film on him, and then they figure out how to attack him. And they realize with Troy Smith, you just got to take away the deep ball, force him to throw the ball short, and his inaccuracy will win out at the end. And, you know, I think for him, he just needs to run. If he just starts running more, I think that would be the answer. I don't know why he's reluctant to get out of the pocket. If he did that more often, I think the offense would open up, but I don't know. I'm not a coach.
I think he's more of a run-and-gun quarterback. And when he drops into the pocket and tries to – he has too much to think about. You know, do you know what I mean? Like,
right.
I think it's just that he's thinking too much, and he has too much time to think when he should be – he's a guy – you know, when Tiger Woods was his best in golf, it was not how long a hitter he was. It wasn't how accurate a hitter he was. It wasn't his putting. It was how he got himself out of trouble. That's what I remember his best times. It was him making those crazy shots. And I feel a little bit the same way about Troy Smith. He needs to get in trouble so that he can just relax and throw the ball and not think so much about where he's throwing it. I think he's spending too much time thinking about where he's going to throw it, as opposed to just – he's a natural thrower. You know, he's a natural quarterback. There aren't many natural guys like him. He's just – and I just think he's taking too much time and making too much thinking. There's just too much thinking going on. He's a snap guy. He's a guy – I remember last year, the guy looked like he was in trouble, you know, and he's about to be pulled down, and he makes some of his best throws with a defender draped on him. But now, you know, he drops back and throws when he's comfortable, and it doesn't seem to be right. Just too bad. He's so talented. I hate seeing that kind of stuff. It's just depressing to watch – him struggle like this. And I think it's that way for Pop too. That's why they brought Garcia in, and they're working really hard to try and get him back into the game. But it also looks like a little bit of the panic button with Pop. What do you think of Pop and bringing in Garcia?
Yeah, I mean, if I could even add to that a little, there's a little thing going on in within the organization where there's a split where Jim Pop and the owner, Bob Wendhall, want Troy Smith to be the leader. They want him to be the face of the franchise, and they want to market him as the guy in Montreal. But the coaching staff, from what I'm hearing, they're completely against Troy Smith. Like, none of them want to play him anymore. They want to bench him. But Jim Pop and the owner are putting pressure on Higgins to keep Troy Smith out there. And so they have a huge rift going on there. I don't know how that's going to settle. And, at the end of the day, the owner and the GM have the most say, right? They can fire the coach. So I think Higgins is just complying for that sake only. I think he's totally not sold on Troy Smith, so I don't know. That's a bad situation. It's only going to get worse, man. I don't know what Garcia – they even brought Don Matthews back. I mean, my God,
yeah,
Matthews is like 95 years old. What is – you know, it's just – I don't know.
It's the aura. You know, like I said, to me it's starting to smell a little bit like panic. I'm hearing the smoke from the panic button. You know, these guys, you know, in fact, the last show, I'm beginning to think that Pop, we overrated Pop as a GM. I think the head coach made the team what it was. And with him being gone, I think it's pretty clear right now.
Right.
You know,
and having Cavillo helped a lot, too. It made it made
the absolutely,
team look a lot
absolutely.
Better.
But I really think they would have survived better with Trestman. I think Trestman and Pop are like yin and yang. You know what I mean? Because Trestman was the guy that in – now that I look back, none of these extracurricular moves like Matthews and Garcia would have happened in his domain, you know, because, you know, everything begins and ends with him, and there is no panic, you know, and don't forget that while he was there, you know, they survived without him for a little while, you know, they didn't always have their number one quarterback, and. You know, I just feel sorry for the Montreal fans because they're watching some pretty pathetic stuff. It's heartbreaking to watch such a great and glorious franchise, hit the skids and like hit it in a hurry. You know, I think we both agree that last year, except for a bad call officiating, they could have been in the Grey Cup last year.
Yeah, no doubt. And the great thing, especially if you're an Argo fan, you guys got to be happy that you stole Milanovic before Trestman left, because from what I understand, Trestman was the next guy up to be the head coach. I mean, Milanovic was the next guy up to be the head coach. And you guys lucked out. You guys, because imagine if he was there, I think things would have kept the same. You know, I think he would have maintained what Trestman had built and kept the same system in place, and they'd still be in a good position now. But it's just a grease fire, man. You just got to flush that team down the toilet and wait for next year if you're in Montreal.
You want to see the difference? You want to see the difference? And this is my Argo fan friends aren't going to like me saying this, but the difference between Toronto and Montreal, they're both going through the same crap. The only difference is that the Argos aren't pressing the panic button. You're not watching these crazy moves. With what they're missing, they're not bringing in guys left and right to fill in the gaps, whether it's because they don't have the money to do it or whatever. But I happen to think Milanovic is one of those guys who likes to keep his hands firmly on the steering wheel, and he likes to know who the guys are that he has on the team. He either knows he wants or he doesn't, you know. And for him to bring in guys at this point, I think it's because of Milanovic that they're not, you know, that they're not pressing the panic button. I could see Barker bringing in new guys every week.
Yeah, not to mention, you know, they know the situation in the East. I mean, they know that there's nothing to worry about. Toronto's probably going to end up the number one team, even if they only win 7 games.
Well, they'll back
so they
in
know
the first.
They just
got
to, you know. I mean, either way, as long as they make it to the playoffs with, you know, Dury and Owens and everyone back in the fold, they're a threat to go to the Grey Cup and maybe win it all. So we'll see.
Okay, well, let's stick to the Montreal-Edmonton. Edmonton has they've turned things around this year. I think many of us agreed that Edmonton was a far better team than their record showed last year. Bring in a coach with some passion, and I think that's the biggest thing that he brought to Edmonton. And I think Montreal is in trouble. You know, Edmonton had their bye week this week. They're just licking their chops. You know, they can't wait to go to Montreal.
No kidding. Not to mention Josh Bork, their Canadian left tackle, is out with an injury. Their old line is decimated. It's just going to be – they're going to be just running after Troy Smith's going to be running like a chicken with his head cut off, man.
Which might be good news.
It's going to be terrible.
Which might be good news.
I mean, but it's going to be in a bad way because he's going to be running, you know –
for his life.
Direction. Exactly.
He's going to be running for his
life. They're going to lose by, like, it's going to be, like, 28 to, like, 4. They're probably not even going to, they're only going to score Rouges probably the whole game.
If they do that. It's not looking very good for Montreal fans. I really hope that I'm wrong and always hold up for your team. And as Schmitty will tell you, I explained to him, never give up on your team, and it came true. But, you know, Calgary's a little different. When Calgary came into Toronto, I said, Schmitty, don't give up on your Stampeders. You never know. This is one of those times when if you're missing a little bit, you can't be too much. If you're missing a little bit, the guys can rise up and play a great game, and they did. I just don't know that Montreal has the horses to overcome Edmonton, especially after a bye week. It's going to be tough.
Yeah.
What do you think there, Schmitty? Montreal-Edmonton. Yeah.
Well, some people on the CFL talk show pick Montreal, but it's not. I want to pick Montreal, but because of my second favorite team, but it's just, like Manon said, it's just not going to happen because it's just they're in that process where they got to find out what the heck is going on. And I believe, you know, Troy Smith is excellent quarterback. Don't get me wrong, but...
Yeah, but you've always said that he's history. You said it from the beginning of the year. And it turns out you might have known something the rest of us should have figured out.
Well, I don't know. Sometimes you just, you know stuff, and sometimes you hear stuff, and sometimes you just have a gut feeling, right? So, and you go from there. But I've never seen a quarterback throw so many yards over a person's head in my life. Like, I just can't remember that happening. And I think he's got a lot of pressure on him. Excuse me. And,
yeah, I think you're right.
But when he talks to the media and stuff like that, he's calm, cool, and collective. So, you know, it's I don't know how many chances more do you give a guy. And but what are they bringing up? What are they bringing up after him? That's not too much to really, you know, win a football game with either. So,
well, yeah, there was talk that Tate
straight.
Was on his way out east. There was talk that Tate was on his way out east, and many figure it's Montreal where they want him.
Well, and
probably Higgins will take him.
Yeah, but
in
I don't
a heartbeat.
Know if I want. I don't know if I want Troy Smith back this way, though.
No. Well, yeah, I gotcha. Well,
You know,
that's
it's
something.
Like, and I don't, and I feel bad for Montreal because, like I say, that's my second favorite team. But something's just, you know, how many weeks do they have to go by not scoring, by not catching the ball, by not having receivers, offensive linemen, defense?
I hear you.
How many weeks, like, really have to go? Like, do you fire Tom Higgins? I don't know. He was in Calgary. He was good, but what do you do?
Yeah, how about you, Mike Townsend? Oh, sorry. Yeah, okay, we'll go Mike, and then we'll go with Bruce Johnich after that.
Well, like I said on the last show, you know, everybody talks about Troy Smith is struggling, Troy Smith this, Troy Smith that, Montreal this. When they pull in Alex Brink, can nobody tell me that Alex Brink had a good game? Because he struggled just as well as Troy Smith did.
Well, it's kind of bad when you can't pull a quarterback out to change change the way things are going. When they pulled Burris out, you know, Thomas DeMarco did a pretty good job, to make your point. I'm just trying to make
your
point,
you
know, right?
There you go, Frank. And Alex Brink came in and did a horrible job, too. So, you know, if it's both quarterbacks, I mean, come on, man. It's that offensive calling, man, and plays. Man, that's all that is. Fire the offensive coordinator and bring somebody in there that can drop a playbook and make the play simple. Shoot, 5 yards and go in for a pass, man. Or 5 yards and cut out towards the sideline. Make it simple.
Yeah, but they should have figured that out,
Mike,
3 games ago, though.
Yeah. So, Mike, you remember last season with Cam Newton in Carolina, how that whole year played out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Those who know the NFL, you know the first 5 games, the Panthers were 1-4, and Cam Newton was struggling. His completion percentage was less than 50. The offense was totally out of sync. And then all of a sudden, week 5, everything switched, and the offense got back on fire, and Cam Newton played like an MVP candidate. And what he said in the interview that changed for him is his mindset, where he wasn't trying to make the big play on every pass, but take whatever the defense gave him, whether it be a yard dump pass, a 5-yard out route. And I remember today I was listening to an interview by Jeff Garcia, and he was talking about what's the problem with Troy Smith. And he said the exact same thing. He said he felt like Troy Smith was always trying to get the big play and not just taking the passes that the defense has given him. So the thing with Brink and Smith is Brink is about his talent level high enough. Troy Smith is a mental thing. If Troy Smith can get his right and approach the game the right way, I mean, he could be extremely successful. No one's questioning that.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely.
So yep.
He's not playing to his strength. He's not playing to his strength. Yep. We've identified it as maybe, you know, pocket passing, but I think you've made it even clearer, is that he's trying – you're basically saying the same thing that we've been saying the past couple of weeks, and that is they're trying to put a square peg into a round hole. Whether it's the team doing it, whether it's him doing it, it doesn't matter. He's not taking what's being given him, and that's the best way to put it.
That is the best way to put it, and that's what I mean. I mean, come on, man. That receiver go 5 yards and cut across. Give him throw him the ball. Quit trying to go for the 25, 30-yard bomb all the time when it's not there, especially when a receiver's in double coverage. You know,
35,
go for what
we're talking
the 45,
55-yard bomb. Why do that? Second and three. Why do it?
No, it doesn't make sense.
You know,
no, it doesn't.
Don't make sense at all. Just go for the short passes to keep getting the first down. Where the defense, where the defense out, and then your offense is going to click. That's all. That's what it is. Wear them down, your offense is going to click.
Well, listening to Manasseh, another thing that comes into my head, why would he do something like that? I think it might have something to do with Manasseh, what you said, and that is that the owner, Westerfeldt, wants him to be the poster boy. So now, in his head, he's going, I got to make the big play that makes me a poster boy. Now, he's not thinking of the big plan. He's thinking of the short plan, the plan that, you know, sells tickets and not thinking about winning. And it's more important that you win. That'll bring the fans in. Montreal is a spoiled city when it comes to sports. They don't like losers. They stay away in droves with losers. You need to win to get Montreal fans in the stadium.
Yeah, you know what, Frank? I want to say thanks for Chris for tagging me to that post. One thing I want to iterate about Montreal real quick, and, you know, the little post that I read was saying how it's a little dissension in the locker room between the players. And one thing I want to add on to it, and I know Manasseh probably can add to this too, The thing with De'Ron Carter, they started saying that he's selfish. You know, that ain't nothing but Chris Carter 2.0. You know what I'm saying? Because when Chris Carter was in Minnesota, he wasn't really a likable player by the players. But, you know, he did what he had to do. And if he's coming out being like his dad, man, he gonna have a long way to go.
Well, you know,
I mean, you had a breakout season last year, but, you know, you're struggling this year. So, you know, you don't have time for him to be selfish.
I don't think it's him that's struggling. It's the team that's struggling. And sometimes when I hear players are unhappy when a team is losing, I kind of like to hear that kind of stuff. I don't want to hear that a guy's happy when they're losing. I want him to be pissed. I want him to be angry. And, I want him to do whatever it takes to try to win, and that's where Carter's got to move in. Carter's got to start playing and helping if he can. You know, if he can help Smith, please help Smith. You know, they're in this together. The whole team's in this together. I don't know. It's a crazy season thus far in Montreal. They really look like a dysfunctional team. There's no doubt about it. They look dysfunctional, and it would be nice to see them turn things around.
I just hope that they show some type of promise this week. I'm not saying win the game. No, I am saying win. But if you don't, at least put up an effort to show that you're competitive.
Build up some confidence.
Ooh. I don't know, Mike. Right? They're gonna get smoked this week, man. Edmonton's a monster.
I think they're gonna get smoked too.
Really?
I hope I'm wrong.
I hope I'm wrong.
How about you, Bruce John Inch? Montreal, Edmonton. Is this gonna be one of those games that we're gonna talk about that, you know, wasn't one of the more interesting games?
Well, yeah, we all know. We all have the same thing going. It'll be a blowout, but well, the only chance Montreal might have is if Jeff Garcia actually comes in and maybe he's the best quarterback.
Yeah.
Oh, ouch, that hurts.
It doesn't work. Just...
hey, but you know what? Hey, okay. Bruce, we're not upset about the fact that Montreal gets their hat handed to them, right?
Well, they're in it's all in the East.
I mean,
right?
They're in
that's
our division.
Right.
There's nothing that I could say that would be bad about Montreal losing to Edmonton.
No.
Make things easier
playing a Western
for the Argos.
Team. Like last week was different. You know, I was kind of hoping Montreal might have pulled one out, but they got smoked.
Yeah, they sure did. Well, you know what? I don't know if we can. I don't know if they can recover. It almost seems more difficult this year, guys, for them to recover from what they're suffering from this year than last year. They're in the exact same situation they were in last year. They looked hopeless. They looked terrible. But last year they had a defense that was doing pretty good, and they had a couple of good games by their young quarterbacks, the ones that they have this year. And I don't know if those quarterbacks are going to be able to repeat, you know, the magical moments they created later on in the season.
Yeah. Well, like you said, I feel bad for the fans the most, you know.
I mean, most of all, that's what I feel bad for. And I'm sure they don't want to hear it from us.
But you know what, man? They're pretty respectful. You know, they don't shoot much.
There you go.
No, they don't at all.
Maybe they're just saying it
in French.
That's
Holy
it.
speaking
of French, then we have the Poussé game of the week, which would be the Hamilton Tiger Cats and the BC Lions.
The Poussé?
Am I going Poussé on this one?
Yeah, why not? Your team's involved.
Absolutely. Well, we all know that the Tiger Cats are very, very hungry for a win. I know it's no excuse, but we've lost like three games within 8 points total. So,
Edmonton of
last year. And I know we haven't won in Calgary in so many flipping games, yada, 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 yada. But this game is going to be hopefully a Ticat victory, and we come back and we get another victory here on the 16th. But I'm going to go Ticats for the win, only because they're my team, and I think they need to win a little bit more than Calgary because...
They need it more than BC? They need it more than BC?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
The whole East needs it more than the West.
Yeah, no
absolutely.
Kidding.
And they know that, man. So, but that's not going to be an excuse. You know, BC is going to get a – I'm still going to say is going to be a BC Ticat 2014 Tiger Great Cup when it's all said and done.
You think McDuffie will have another great game?
I'm hoping he will, but you know, we'll see. He
oh,
had
he's
a,
out.
You know,
out.
he had an awesome game, man, for being his first game in the CFL. So
incredible.
Hope he keeps in. I'm just hoping he keeps injury free at this point in time.
No, he is. He is injured. Actually, it's Brandon Banks is back in.
I never read that, dude, and I was on the internet. Really? When did you? When
yeah,
did
I read it. I read it on Drew Edwards' Scratching Post blog.
Oh, he put it up. Really?
Yeah, he
wow.
Put it up, yeah.
You just burst my bubble there, unless I don't know. But that's okay. Brandon Banks, he's got a good legs too, man. You know, we've all seen that. So we'll see how it goes.
Know,
but, you
we
know right
they bring in
take,
good players.
Well, we have the players to win any game. It's just a matter of these penalties, man. These, you know, either that or I'd be a lot happier.
You guys have a quarterback is a big question. Who I mean, come on.
Well, I think
LeFever's
doing
really?
Okay, man. He did okay in his first game. He did shit in his first, or Schmidt in his first half. Came alive in the second half. You know, this is only his second full game being a CFL player, too. Last year, he was always a backup to Burris. I know he got in a lot of reps, but he never played a full game. So, you know, you got to give him that, too. Besides that, you can go on to the next guy, I guess, Frankie. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, buddy. And I guess we'll go to Schmitty. How do you feel about this cat fight?
Well, you know, I'm hoping for Hamilton because DC's in the West, of course. I mean, that's what we all do, right? But, you know what, I was impressed with Glenn last week against Calgary, and, you know, I've always been a Glenn favorite, so...
Another old home week for him. Another old
yes,
home week for him.
I have to give the advantage to BC just because, not because they're playing at home and stuff like that, but I don't know. It's just, I'll go back
they
and say it again. Fans. It's just been a funny season, and who knows what happens, but, you know, I think that's what Glenn needed to come back to Calgary and beat the Stamps right in where he played for the last couple of years, and he'll be back in it again, and he'll go from there. But I'm hoping for Hamilton, of course, but I don't think so. But
yeah, but I think it's the same. Reason. It's the same reason I'm okay with Montreal losing.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, helped your team out, doesn't it? How
well,
about you, Mike?
Well, one thing I got to say about this game. You know, Ticats are like one of my favorite teams. But I got to go with BC, man. And the reason I'm going to go with BC because they got that two-headed monster at running back. And right now, they can't be stopped, especially 33. Can't be stopped.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Great, you know, the great Canadian running backs. We got one that's on the shelf, and this other one just takes over and – we could have another Canadian running back win the award, a different one. You know?
I mean, BC is playing out their minds, man. I mean, seriously. I cracked on them at the beginning of the season with the losses, but, you know me, man, it is what it is. They're playing out their mind, and I give them credit, man. You know, hey.
Well, that's why they play the games, Mike. I mean, if we all could figure out what was going to happen, then why bother playing the games? That's what makes it interesting.
Yeah.
The surprises,
oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. So,
the surprise.
Yeah, they're the strongest team to me in the West right now. You know, hey, they're not going to stop rolling. They're rolling on all cylinders.
Well, I saved the best for last when it comes to this game. Mr. BC Lions, Christopher Jones. Your team looks good in this game.
They do.
They're on a bit of a roll.
Yeah, definitely are. You didn't actually come to me for the Edmonton-Hamilton game, by the way, Frank. I did.
Oh, okay.
I just kind of sat
right.
on the spot.
Well, why don't you do that one first? Why don't you do that one first? Please do. The mistake I made was I left everybody's mics on, and that's how I lose track.
Okay.
Then I have to
trust
my recollection. I should keep doing turn off the mic things.
I think the Edmonton-Montreal game is going to be a turkey shoot, a beat down, whatever you want to call it. Edmonton is just going to walk in and clean house. I'm not going to repeat all the things that you guys said about Troy Smith, but I just think the team, the coaches, whatever, trying to make an anti-Calvillo out of a mobile passer. Manasseh is bang on, and he's exactly what I said last year. He played three great games, and because nobody had film on him. Now we got film on him, and we're shutting him down. And that's the way things are going to be, period. And until they start playing to his strengths and allow him to be mobile and run, just like what Darian Durant did last year, and that just like what most decent QBs do when they're in trouble, Mike Riley, get out of the pocket and run like hell.
Riley.
And as soon as they let him do that, then Montreal's got no hope, right? And hopefully Jeff Garcia knows this, sees it, and can change this quarterback situation around over there.
Well, like
Durant,
you said, it's
having a terrible game season. All the receivers, Montreal's got the best receivers in the league, and they're all coming up lame. And is it because their receivers aren't playing or their QB's not getting them the ball, right? I mean, can't catch a ball if it's not coming at you.
Where's S.J. Green?
Yeah, exactly.
Where the heck is he? Where is he?
Well,
this is one of the best.
Where's Jordan Carter? I mean, where's Chad Johnson? This guy was supposed to light up this league. I mean, I heard all sorts of accolades about how wonderful this guy is. He's got four passes for an average of 19 yards.
Should I turn on Mike's mic?
One of them was for 46 yards. So he's 10 yards on average per catch, with the exception of one biggie. So you don't know. I'm not going to go in there. I'm going to move past that game because there's no point in rehashing it all. But it's going to be a serious beatdown by Edmonton.
I'm hoping it isn't, but it really does.
I think it's going to be the other way around in the next game here. I think BC is just going to have fun with them little Tiger Cats, because Tiger Cats just look like they're running around in circles most of the time. And BC finally has their groove, and they're going. We're going to see Travis Lule on the field throwing the ball. He's going to take a few series, if not almost a quarter. I'm going to be pretty excited about Travis coming back in there. I mean, Andrew Harris and Stephen Logan are going to take the pressure off of him. Nobody's going to come close to him. The O-line is playing extremely well. Hamilton's not going to come near Travis. And everything is just going to be beautiful. It's going to be a wonderful game, and I wish I could be at it. Unfortunately, the wife is out at a horse event, and I got to stay at home and take care of the farm. I'm missing one of the best games of the year for the Lions.
Yeah, but you can still watch it on TV.
I don't have TV.
You don't have TV. Oh, can you watch it on the Internet?
I try to watch it on the Internet, but we know why you're talking to me on the phone right now.
Oh, right. Okay.
It's great to do Facebook. It's great to do emails and messaging and everything else. But to stream a game, you can't stream a game the way that we were talking, where all of a sudden pieces are missing out of the game.
How
all the
far
time.
Away
so,
is your next neighbor?
I'm far from neighbors. Actually, I'm 13 kilometers from the nearest corner store. So I figure I'm going to end up at Boston Pizza, which is probably about 25K away.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the distance between you and Hamilton.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to Boston Pizza for dinner and watch the game for 3 hours.
There you go. And leave the farm alone? Will it take care of itself?
Yeah, I can run on it alone for 3 hours. It'll be fine.
Okay.
It'll
run
for
itself.
For me to go to a football game, it's about an 8-hour event.
Cool.
So, you know,
it's,
2 hours
in, 2 hours.
It's an 8-hour
event for me, too.
Well, 2 hours in, 2 hours back out, 3-hour game. We're talking 7 right now. I get there half an hour or an hour earlier, hang out with the guys in the thing, and, you know, we're talking 8 hours away from the farm. I can't do that.
That's too bad.
So, anyhow, no, it's going to be an exciting game. I'm excited to watch it. I feel sorry for Bruce because he's just going to watch his Tiger Cats get annihilated again. And que sera.
And that's the way it goes. All right, so I guess you can start us out. Everybody had a chance to talk BC Lions, Hamilton Tiger Cats? Or did I screw up on that too? Here, I'll bring everybody back in again. There's only 5 of us now anyway, so.
Yeah.
It's a quiet night.
The list is getting shorter and shorter.
Yeah, it is. It is. So the Hamilton Tiger Cats, BC Lions, we wore that one out, right?
Yep.
So we can move on to the Ottawa Red Blacks and the Calgary Stampeders. Well, this is another Eastern beatdown. I just don't see Ottawa. I just don't see Ottawa. The defense that Calgary has is going to smother the crap out of the offense which is becoming a punny offense that Ottawa is putting together. Their offense, it's very disappointing, and I imagine it's probably frustrating for Burris
to not have the kind of receivers that he's accustomed to. And that's going to be the death knell for the Ottawa Redblacks. I don't think they're even going to score a TD this time after scoring their first one. And Calgary pretty much is going to win by at least two or three touchdowns. It's going to be terrible. And unless Ottawa can do something with that receiving core, Burris needs help. How about you, Mike?
That's going to be down, man. All I got to say, if Charleston Hughes don't have a career night, man, something is wrong.
I agree.
For real.
Ouch.
So everybody's picking Calgary, huh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm picking Calgary.
No, I'm going Ottawa.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to pick Calgary or not. I don't know. That's up
yeah,
to
that's
the
right.
Oh, shut up, Schmidt. Shut up, Schmidt.
The Redblacks are winning this game. I'm picking the Redblacks. Calgary
really?
Is so overrated, it's beyond ridiculous, man. These guys, this 4-1 record they have, three out of their four wins were against Eastern teams. They barely beat Edmonton. They completely, I don't know how they even lost to BC. I mean, their offense is garbage. First of all, Levi Mitchell is totally overrated. You know, he's not anything. Forget about that. John Cornish.
No, and
Huffnagel
has said that. Huffnagel has made it clear that he's not happy with his offense.
Yeah, it's horrible, man. Since that game
horrible.
At Toronto, they haven't
it
done anything. They've been getting beat down every single game. They're totally set up to lose, man. I bet
you
Redblacks win by two touchdowns.
Okay, we're talking offense right now, Schmitty, we're talking offense now.
Okay, whatever.
We're talking offense, right? Are you going to do you think you have a great offense? Do you think you have a great offense in Calgary?
You talking to me?
Yeah. Do you think you have a great offense?
I'd say it's average.
Yeah, and average isn't going to cut it in the West.
No, it's not.
Average
you know
cut
what?
It in the East.
Sometimes you have to win by your defense, and sometimes you win by your offense or both, right? So that's the way it goes.
I just think that, I know what Manasseh is getting at, and I'm not too far off what he's saying. And as you all know, at the beginning of the year, I claimed that Calgary may not even make the playoffs. They might have to. They might have to go crossover to get in. That's what I thought at the beginning of the season.
They're not even going to get that either. They're garbage. That's a garbage team, man.
I don't know if they're that
bad.
Oh,
they're bad. It's a facade. 4-1 record is a complete facade. Believe me. Anyone who watched that BC game, the BC Lions are not a good team. And for Calgary to struggle the way they did in the second half, come on. They shouldn't have even beat Edmonton. Had they not had that fluky blocked punt where they ran in for a touchdown, they would have lost to Edmonton.
Fluky, come on now.
And week four against Hamilton. Hamilton came to Calgary. You guys won 10-7 against a bad Hamilton Tiger Cat team. Still, 10 points against Hamilton?
Still got the best defense in the league, so what are you saying, Manasseh?
Ooh, Hamilton? Come on.
Calgary.
No,
Calgary. He means Calgary.
You don't have to
say that. Your offense only managed to put up 10 points against
Hamilton.
If
Levi Mitchell gets in his place, I tell you, if he gets in his rhythm like he should be doing, because it's peeing me off too, because he's not playing up to what he should be playing, then watch out.
No, there's no such thing as a Bo Levi rhythm. His game is three or four deep passes, and then the rest of the game he's just dinking and dunking, and he's going to maybe have, 150, 200 yards. That's it, man. It's nothing. Your team is like all fluff. It's not a real
Calgary's
team.
Calgary's only played five games. Calgary's
really
played
is.
Five games. Still got 13
And I've watched
left.
Every single game they've played. And I'm telling you,
I've been to the Edmonton Calgary one here in Edmonton, and you know what?
Thank you.
It was a defenseless struggle, but Calgary won, and that's the way it goes, and I was happy.
Oh, but be honest though, Edmonton outplayed Calgary in that game. Be honest. Come on.
No.
What?
I'm not being honest because offense and defense should be the same thing but different, if you know what I mean.
Okay, so you remember when Edmonton went for that fake punt at the end of the first half, and they got stopped like a yard short.
Yeah,
you guys got ball to 10. Then you had that lucky touchdown pass to Jeff Fuller in the end zone where, again, Bo Levi literally threw it in the air, and Jeff Fuller, who's like, 6'4", had to high point that ball just to get it down. I mean, come on, man. You take that freak play and the block punt, That's it. That was the only two plays that made a difference. The rest of the game, Edmonton completely outplayed them. Mike Riley outplayed Mitchell.
You can't take your D's and your B's and your D's and put everything. You know, like, what happens in CFL stays in CFL. What happens, you make a mistake, you get burnt. You get burnt. Calgary got burnt on that one with Edmonton with the touchdown that whatever his name was scored for Edmonton for a touchdown. Calgary got one back from Simpson. I mean, things even out, right?
And that wasn't that, too. What about the Fred Stamps touchdown that got called back on that blown holding call? Come on, man. The refs and the fluky stuff, that stuff will not last the rest of the season.
Okay, now you're going to try to say that the game was all fixed because of the refs now.
No, I'm not saying it was fixed. I'm saying Calgary's winning because of this luck, and luck does
there
not
is
last.
No,
luck
you need
always
that's all part of the game, though, Manasseh. You make your own luck. I mean, I get what you're saying, and I'm sitting here listening to an interesting conversation, and you know what? As far as that's concerned, Mike, what do you think of the Ottawa Red Blacks Calgary game?
Well, you know, Charleston Hughes is going to have a career night, but one thing I'm going to say, Calgary has to deal with the Chevy. They ain't going to shut him down, man. Come on.
Siobhan contract and everything.
Run all over them boys.
New contracting.
Yeah. Siobhan Walker is going to run all over them boys. You know what I'm saying? And who's the starting quarterback, DeMarco or Burris?
No, Burris is starting.
Burris is going to come out throwing, man. If he can just find another receiver to catch the ball, man, Burris is going to be all right, man. You know what I'm saying?
I just happen to think that it's pick six time for Calgary. Calgary's going to win again, and it's going to be big because of defense. And I agree with Manasseh that the offense isn't so good, and that's where Calgary's going to win. It's going to be on the defense, and it's going to be pick sixes. And after a pick six or two, they'll put DeMarco back in, and then he'll look good for a little while. But I just don't
think
they're
going to be pick sixes on both sides, Frank.
Yeah, true.
No, okay,
true.
Well, I'm not 100%
sure. Calgary's going to have at least 8 or 9 sacks in that game.
No, this is Henry Burris' redemption. He's got something still waiting on Calgary. He's going to take it to him, man. This has been 2 or 3 years in the waiting.
Well, I hope he does well. I hope he does well. I have nothing. There's nothing I'd like more than to see the Red Blacks do well. But if Burris doesn't have people to throw to, zero offense, and a defense that's not the same as Calgary's, that to me is a cocktail of trouble for Ottawa.
Yep. Bring on Charleston Hughes.
So okay, your turn there, buddy. Go ahead, Christopher.
Both teams have respectable defenses. The edge goes to Calgary. Both teams have pathetic offenses. The edge is going to go to nobody.
You were about to say Ottawa.
You were going to say Ottawa.
Ottawa has a quarterback with no receivers. Calgary has receivers with no quarterback. But between the two of them, they could make a team.
Come on now.
By themselves, it's not. Calgary's going to take this game. I have no doubt that Calgary is going to take this game. They are just going to overwhelm Burris. He's going to get flustered. He's going to throw picks. He's going to get frustrated. He's going to throw things. He's going to get put on the bench. Calgary is just going to frustrate the hell out of him. And,
Ottawa
does not have the ability to do that to Bo Levi. They don't. Just don't. He's not going to get flustered. He's just going to keep trying and trying and trying. So the edge is for Calgary on that. I would just say that Mitchell has a better head than Burris.
Yeah.
And that's the way it's going to be. Calgary is going to open a can of whoop ass on the Red Blacks.
But Chris, let me ask you a quick. Did you watch the game against with BC and Calgary all the way through?
Of course
I did.
I was at it.
Okay. Now honestly, did you think like Calgary? They weren't a good – I mean, they're not a good team, be honest.
Well, I don't know if that's fair, Manasseh, because I happen to think that – like you – well, put it this way. We already know that you don't think that BC or Calgary have a good team. I, on the other hand –
No, BC has
a solid
team.
What I saw –
Just
what
tells
I saw
me when you look at them, you're like, how are they winning? I don't understand how they win games.
Well, what I saw in that game with BC and Calgary was I saw Mallett did a good job coming in running – running well. He ran well. He kept the you know, the defense honest. They both had pick sixes. They both seemed to have control of the game at different times. And it almost turned into one of those games with the last possession decided who won. I thought it was a very evenly fought game. And there, it was like watching a mirror play itself because they looked identical to me from my perspective. They looked identical. They both had bad offense. And then they both had good
and
bad defense.
I'm not going to argue with that. I mean, they both had great defenses, and both offenses were struggling. And I'll tell you what happened. I mean, it's very simple. BC has played six games in this season, and Manasseh, pay attention to this, because I told you at the beginning of the season, Travis Lule is going to come back after week six, and we need to be at 500. Kevin Glenn was going to take us to 500, and you laughed hysterically at me. What is BC at week six? We're at 500 so far. Kevin Glenn brought us here. Okay, well,
but you do have to admit, those first 3 weeks, it looked like a complete train wreck.
Absolutely.
No shit. Okay,
And the only reason they won the game in the first three was Andrew Harris. He carried the team on his back.
Picked him up and carried him, and he's done it most of the season, okay? But at week six, Kevin Glenn needed to have us at 500 football so that we can make the parade to the Grey Cup. Travis is going to come back and
come
take us
on,
to the
Chris.
Promise now.
Hold up with the Grey Cup talk. Come on, man. Hold up. Did you remember what Winnipeg did to BC when they held your team to 6 points?
No. Winnipeg did not hold BC to 6 points. BC completely did not show up for that game. Not one aspect of our team showed up. Not the O-line, not the defense, nothing showed up. Even Andrew Harris did not show up for that game. Okay? Winnipeg didn't beat us. BC didn't show up. I was at the game. I was watching it. It was pathetic. And every member of the Lions afterwards said the same thing. We just did not come to play football. So they didn't hold us anywhere. We just collapsed upon ourselves.
Okay, well, whatever they want, excuse they want to make. At the end of the day,
I would be clear
who's the top dogs of the West, right? It's Winnipeg, Edmonton, and Saskatchewan are the class of the West. Calgary and BC are somewhat like the question is, are they contenders or are they pretenders?
Not one of your predictions has come true yet. Not one. Not one in the year and a half I've been missing.
I'm the only one here that said Winnipeg was going to be a playoff team, and all of you guys laughed at that. And here they are.
They're not.
No, you know what?
I said crossover. I said crossover.
They 5-1, Chris.
Winnipeg is going to be a playoff team.
Hey, one at a time, boys.
All right, but let me even add this, Chris, that their offense, not only is it the best offense in the league, but it's the most entertaining. I have been watching the CFL passionately for like 3 years now, and Winnipeg by far has the most entertaining offense I've ever witnessed since the
O-line
LOS. Have
you watched the last two games that they've played?
Dude.
They were last game Drew Willey threw for 361 yards, and they've had three comeback games. No one else can say that. Drew Willey throws the ball deep three times per quarter. Every other team does it two or three times a game. That to me, I like the fact that Winnipeg plays aggressive. They play to win. They don't play not to lose like everybody else does. Everybody else plays this conservative offensive football that is so boring, like the Riders. I cannot watch the Riders' offense. It is like watching paint dry. I mean, really. Don't you guys get bored of some of these games? It's horrible.
I've watched paint dry, and it actually dries over time.
There you go. But, I mean, you know what I'm saying, right? Like, don't you guys enjoy watching Winnipeg
play? I've watched football no matter what. I've been watching football since
Yeah, go ahead. Schmitty. Go ahead.
No,
you go ahead.
No, go ahead, Frank.
No, I was just going to say that Winnipeg's the flavor of the week. You know, like, we talk about, you know, teams having a book on a quarterback. We talk about teams, you know, playing over their head. I'm not saying that Winnipeg's playing over their head, and I'm not saying that they're going to succeed against Willie. But I am going to say that he isn't going to be as successful. The fact that touchdown that they got, that winning touchdown in the last game they played, that volleyball pass where the defense was lulled to sleep. I mean, you know what I mean?
The defensive lineman is just sticking his hands in the air
Yeah.
Last play of the game it was.
About the drive? I mean, think about the passes he had to do to get to the goal line.
Oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
There was like four or five
Fioli
just amazing
was incredible.
Passes.
Well, and there was some amazing catches, too. Fioli was incredible. That led to that touchdown. Now, that was the pass that won the game. you know, the other, it was anticlimactic, especially because it was a ball that I think had a hang time of about 47 seconds, for God's sakes, and it only traveled
it
10 yards. Yeah, it was more like a punt than it was a pass. Jeez.
But I mean, honestly, guys, isn't Drew Willie the leading candidate for MLP right now?
It was a layup.
Yep.
Absolutely he is.
You know what? I think so, too, man, Manasse. But I'm going to go back to what you're saying. I picked him to make the playoffs, too, especially when they signed Drew Willie, man, because, you know, my husband being in the space, we watched Drew Willie play, so it wasn't nothing new to us to see him come in and take charge of a team. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't nothing for us to see him play. Drew Willie is a winner, man. The guy's not a fluke by any means.
No doubt.
And he's not a backup.
I mean, you saw him at the University of Buffalo when Turner Gill was the coach there, and it was like he was on ESPN every night with these comeback wins, and the University of Buffalo was never on TV. I mean, he put that school on the map. You know?
Yep. And then the Las Vegas Locomotives on the Jim Fossil. Come on, man.
Oh, yeah.
Shoot.
No, he's not a rookie, and he's not a backup quarterback. And that's why you got – and I understood that by, you know, it didn't take long to figure out. A guy's got two championships. It doesn't matter where it is. If a guy's got two championships, and now you're just adding to his pedigree where, you know, there was a guy named Flutie who made a reputation out of, I think he only had one comeback, and people thought that nobody stopped talking about it. You know what I'm saying? And he had a reputation for doing that kind of stuff. And this guy's another Flutie. He's a guy who makes stuff happen, and you wonder how the heck he did it. You know, I'm making fun of that pass, but, you know, it's one of those things where you say, well, only Willie, you know, we're going to look back at this, and we're going to say, only Willie would have the balls to make that kind of pass because, I mean, he floated that thing. It was ridiculous. It was incredible, and only Willie would do it. This year, you know, I could see Ray doing something like that. That's a veteran pass, understanding the game of football and understanding the difference between a D-back and a receiver. You know, it was priceless to watch. I'm making fun of it, but it totally blew my mind away. I'm sitting there looking at the ball in the air going, okay, so what idiot would actually throw a ball like that?
Is this ball coming down anytime soon?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he did it like, didn't Paul LaPolice on the coach breakdown, like he explained why Drew Willie had to throw it like that. Because of the, you know, the defensive end was trying to cover Gable, and because of his height, Willie had to, like, you know, float that thing over the top. Otherwise, if he threw a dart, it wouldn't have made it to Gable's hands.
It would have gotten knocked
down. So he had
to
throw like that for a reason. So it's, you know.
But then
I mean,
Helmeton
at the end of the day,
even if he would have missed it, Helmeton got a penalty anyway, so it wouldn't
right.
It didn't mean that if it was incompletion, they still had another down anyways. But the thing is, you don't see that too often in the CFL where you have a floater like that. It's weird to see.
Well, all the great quarterbacks
have
their go-to move. All the great quarterbacks have their go-to move, right? I mean, you know, down and in the corner, you know, Ray, you know, we all know that's what's going to happen, you know, if he gets 20 yards in. You know, they all have their go-to move. And if that's a go-to move that Willie's going to go to more than once, it's going to be for people to watch it. It's just incredible to me. It's just incredible.
And
that's just really
But on the other hand, Frank, it's dangerous.
Well, yeah, if somebody lays, if some, you know, it's possible. Sure, it could be very dangerous. But isn't that what Manasseh's saying? Is that's what makes Willie so entertaining? Is that he lives the game on the edge? You know, he's not going with the safe stuff. He's a risk taker. He's a riverboat gambler. And that's very
entertaining. They play like they got balls. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm tired of this neutered offense the rest of the CFL has. It's so boring, man. Like, look at the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, guys. Before last week, they've been throwing like 120, 130 yards per game. I mean, come on, man. It's bad.
No, Manasseh, you're right.
Manasseh, you're putting down Calgary that hasn't played good teams. Well, who does Saskatchewan played?
No, I'm saying Saskatchewan's offense has been bad.
Well, you know, I would take Durant and Calgary in a heartbeat.
I wouldn't. Durant is so overrated. He just got exposed without Corey Sheets what quarterback he is. Look how bad he's been since every game Corey Sheets was gone last year.
Well, he has gotten better.
Well, he has one good game, Frank.
So how is Calgary
Ottawa
one?
He's got his little security blanket now, and now he's got his safety valve, and now he can look around, and he knows where Getzlaf's going to be. You know, it's like why Ray's having
Frank,
problems.
You're dreaming.
What?
You're dreaming.
Dreaming about what? That Getzlaff's a good receiver?
No,
yeah,
Getzlaff's
Chris Getzlaff.
That's
another
that's
overrated player. Yeah. The Rough Riders as a team, let's be honest, guys. Their guys get puffed up because their fan base hypes up these guys. In all honesty, they're average players, the most of them, especially on offense. Durant's an average quarterback. Getzlaff is an average receiver. It's just because he's a Canadian.
Not an average
his brother plays in the NHL. That's the only reason people make Getzlaff a big name. It's not because he's a great player.
I don't know.
Come on,
that game with Saskatchewan, and he gave me the impression that he made a lot of, at least what I saw was he made a lot of key catches at key times. And Durant needs that. And Durant needs that.
And he knows that.
I mean, Mike, you know football well. You know what they say. If a receiver's talented if he uses his hands to catch the ball. But if he uses his body, that tells you that the guy doesn't have hands. And that's what Getzlaff does all the time. He always drops passes when it's just his hands. He has to use his body to catch the ball. That tells you his skills aren't as high. It's because of his brother and because he's a Canadian and because he's from Saskatchewan. That's why they hype him up. It's not because he's a great player. I see this all the time with the writers.
But I think the same is true everywhere in the CFL. You know, Harris is a BC boy. Dory is a Mississauga boy, which is Toronto, you know.
Andy Fantuz,
let's be honest. I mean, the Canadian players aren't as refined football players as a rule, for the most part. Because I'm going to get people. Please don't send me a bunch of letters saying that I think Canadian football players suck.
You're true.
The point is that Canadian players are at a premium when it comes to GMs and coaches. They're necessary. You have to get the best Canadians, and that's because you can't replace Canadians as easily as you can replace Americans. They may be more talented, they might have more ability, but they're easier to replace than Canadians, and that raises the value of a Canadian player. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Harris is just as good as any running back in the league, as far as I'm concerned. He's Canadian.
But
John
Cornish. It's unfair, though. Andy Fantuz gets paid $250K. He's the highest paid receiver. Just because he has a Canadian, it makes his premium. Where SJ Green gets paid only like $150, and he's clearly a better receiver by a long shot. I mean, SJ Green's talent level is far above Andy Fantuz.
I understand. I understand the fairness aspect of what you're talking about, but unfortunately, Manasseh, we're talking about a league that needs to have Canadians in it to help promote the league. Otherwise, it's just another league in the United States, you know, and that's what makes the Canadian game different, is that we have different rules, and one of the rules that we have is we expect there to be Canadians, and we expect, just like what Edmonton did, $348,000 went to this 20-year-old, and their share has gone to all the football, the university, you know, to Football Alberta. It basically, we have to support our football, and that's the way it goes. That's just the way it is. It's not a big deal in my mind. I know as an American, it's hard for you to digest, but for me as a Canadian,
it's not that. I mean, it's not like I don't want Canadians.
It is
I just
that.
Feel
it
like wouldn't
that.
It be
no,
better
no.
if it was Canadians who actually earned a roster spot, like John Cornish? If there wasn't an import rule, he could make a team.
But Manasseh, would it not be fair to say that there are a lot of players? Never mind. Now let's step outside the CFL. There's a lot of players in leagues that earn far too much money compared to what they're worth. You know, you never pay a guy for what he's going to do. You always pay a guy for what he's done. You know what I mean? Yeah, sure, they say, you know, potentially, but it's always potentially, you know. There's no guarantee because you sign a guy, you know, with a lucrative contract that he's going to earn that contract. That's just the thing about sports. You know, and Fantuz is being paid for what he's done and what he's proven, and not necessarily what he's going to do. And that's what separates,
right,
you know.
Even his production is like, you know, the guy's had, I think, one 1,000-yard season in his entire career. One. And he's the highest-paid receiver. I mean, to me, there's just something flawed in that logic. And the other part, too, is
it has less
American
to do about him being Canadian. It has less to do about him being Canadian.
Well, it has everything to do with him being
No,
with
see,
all the
I don't
Canadians,
think so.
Because the Americans have this additional pressure of if they don't live up, these guys get cut in a heartbeat because there's another guy to take their spot. Whereas these Canadians have this additional security because they have to maintain the import ratio
right.
and the non-import ratio. That's ridiculous. So they get a pay premium, plus they get an additional security just because they're Canadian. And on top of that, they're not even on the same caliber as most of the American players. Like, that's just a double standard.
Yeah,
that's just
not
right.
If you don't like the game, then don't watch it then. Plain and
simple. No, I like the game. I just feel like it's unfair. It's not right. Like,
well,
why does there have to be this racial rule? Why doesn't it just be...
in the NFL either. I mean, nothing.
Well, I mean,
I'm not telling you to get rid
of the Canadians. I just say let the Canadians earn their way on the roster like everybody else should.
Well, of course they do.
What's wrong with
they
that?
They do.
But they do.
They
do
don't
earn
their
way.
They
there's
do.
There's
a handicap that forces them to be on the team and have to start. Not only do they have to be on the roster.
Of course. Yes. I see.
Forces them
you're,
to be
you're
on
right,
the roster.
But you know what? You're right and you're wrong at the same time, Anase, because the non-import rule is there for a reason. I thought I explained it. It's a Canadian league.
No, I get that.
And we want to promote our Canadian players. And there's going to be high points because we have that rule. Like, if we didn't have that rule, do you think there'd be a Cornish in the league? Do you think there'd be an Andrew Harris in the league?
I think both of them would be in the league because they're both good enough to be on a team.
I happen to believe that they're given an opportunity that they may not have otherwise had.
Oh, I wouldn't say that because John Cornish went to NCAA school in Kansas. He proved himself at the highest level in college. Andrew Harris clearly just had the talent. I mean, he wasn't even a CIS guy. He was a CJFL guy who G-Roy Simon convinced the Lions to give him a tryout, and he earned his way on the roster because of his performance and his talent. Not like these other guys that basically get drafted out of the CIS.
I don't understand where you can say that Van Duse never earned his contract.
He's the slowest wide receiver I've ever seen in my entire life. Number one. Number two, he's
only had one 1,000-yard season. That's because we don't have tight ends in Canada.
Right. I mean, that you don't have. I mean, it's still.
You know what? I don't like the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, but you know what? Fantuse is good. He's very good. I don't know where your eyes are or whatever sort of thing, but. He's a good player.
I'm not saying he's not good. I just don't think he should be the highest paid guy.
He just said he wasn't good. I don't know what
he's
doing.
Right.
He's a Canadian player.
No.
I really don't.
Okay. I think what Manasseh is trying to get to is saying, by Fantuz being a Canadian, getting paid all that money, and correct me if I'm wrong, Manasseh, and then you have a player like S.J. Green that have consecutive 1,000-yard receiving is getting paid less money being a better receiver in the league.
Right. Exactly. $100,000 less.
Every team is different. Hang on here for a second.
S.J. Green had a better quarterback throwing him the ball than what Fantuz has ever had in the CFL, either in Saskatchewan or in Hamilton.
No, that's not true. In Hamilton, the 2 years that Henry Burris was there, his first year, he threw for more than 5,000 yards and 43 touchdowns. In his first year, second year he went, I think 4,975, and he threw more than 30 touchdowns. So both years he's had.
How do you remember this shit?
Because I got a library in the back of my head. I remember this stuff, but I'm just saying, if he had a quarterback who threw for that many yards and he still didn't get 1,000 yards, there's a problem. It's because he's not getting open because he's slow. That's my whole point.
I think some people on the show have a problem. Let me speak here. I think some people on this show have a problem with Canadians being in the CFL, but you know what?
This is our game.
That's not what it is. Don't misrepresent it. I love being in there. It sounds that way,
and I'm not a
probably
super guy.
More than you guys do,
2 hours,
I actually
I
support
chance.
The CIS. I'm sure most of you don't even know anyone who plays the CIS. I actually support it and follow it.
Who cares? I care about the CFL.
The point is, if you
care
about Canadian football players, you should support it at the college level. Then you'd have better Canadian football players coming up, and we wouldn't have.
No, we don't have the numbers
because they'd be on the same caliber.
Now you're knocking people coming up from Canada playing in college and university.
I know what they're doing.
Your football down in the States. Like, I love my Miami Dolphins.
Because you can't, because we're on the highest caliber of football players. That's not even a debate. We're talking about Canadian players
that's
trying
right.
to develop an infrastructure
to
be on the same level.
And that's why you guys can't play hockey. Because
because we're a higher caliber hockey players, and we're a hockey country. We're not a football country. You guys want to play football down there, you play football down there. In Canada, we play hockey, okay? I happen to be a football fan in Canada, so I like the caliber of football we have, okay? We don't have a 20,000-seat high school stadium, okay? No, we're in Canada. We have 20,000 people show up for a high school game, yet every Friday night throughout Texas, you get 20 grand at this high school game. Okay.
Oh, that's one high school,
Canada.
Man. That's one high school in Texas. That's not like the whole country's like that.
Wow.
Yes.
We get behind college football, but we don't get you.
40 kilometers from me, I can go to Linden, Washington, and I'll be one
of
10,000 people at a football game on a Friday night.
A college football game, they draw over 100,000 people to their games. Come on, Manasseh.
Because we all, no, I know, that's what I'm saying. We get behind college football. He's trying to make it seem like every high school has a 20,000-seat stadium.
No, but there are enough. There are enough.
No, there's not a lot of them, dude. There's only like there's
you can't
only
there
one
are
one
enough.
That did
you can't find
that.
A
in
college
Texas,
game in
Texas,
Canada that will do that.
From my understanding, and guys, I'll stand corrected, but in Texas, the high school football is crazy.
It's
you know, Friday Night Lights, they call it that for a reason. Friday Night Lights. I mean, they made a TV show. They made a movie about it. They made a TV show about they're so crazy about their football.
Yeah, well, they made a movie about the Mighty Ducks, too.
Yeah, well, that's because, you know, well, whatever. Because Disney
now, look,
bought
I'm
a team.
I'm going to tell y'all something about Texas football. If you go online and Google some of their Texas stadiums, some of their high school stadiums look better than some of these pro stadiums.
That's what that's what we've been talking about. And that's what Manasseh
is. And their football coaches get paid more.
Yeah. Their coaches
their
get
high
paid
school
more than our
football
coaches.
Coaches get paid more than any coach in the CIS.
I bet you if you asked the CFL players, the American CFL, if they wish they could go back to playing high school football, they'd tell you they would.
Right. I mean, and there's no reason that it can't be like that in Canada. It's just people
sure there is. There's a big
it. That's all it is.
There's a big reason.
There's enough people in every city.
What we do, if you don't like this league, then you don't have to watch it. You don't have to be on the show. You
okay,
don't have
Schmidt,
to do anything.
Enough with that, dude.
No,
this is not an anti-CFL.
Dude,
you're just
don't
talking
like
about why the
you're
league has
to
this
you're putting down Canadian players,
rule.
And I don't like it.
Nobody's putting down Canadian players.
Yeah,
he's not doing it.
Who won the MVP last year in the Canadian Football League? Tell me.
That's my whole point.
That's my whole point.
I'm saying guys should earn a roster spot because they're good enough to be on the team, not because of their passport.
Yeah. But Manasseh, look, it's the Canadian Football League. It's the Canadian Football
exactly.
League. And we don't believe in false advertising. We don't believe in false advertising. So we say, well, if we're going to call it the Canadian Football League, we might as well have some Canadians on it. Yeah. We understand that they're not going to be as good on average as the American players. But what we do know is if we promote Canadian players to play in the CFL, there are going to be players who are going to play better and better. The advantage that CFL players that come from the U.S. have over Canadians, it shows up in the quarterback situation. Canadian quarterbacks have too long a curve to catch up on the American players. That's why they've given up on bringing in Canadian quarterbacks. Because when the Canadian quarterback comes into camp, he's got to start from scratch, whereas the American quarterback is starting at already ready to play. You know, and that's why we have the Canadian content rule. It's what we do. It's what we do here in Canada. We believe that we're going to give our people a chance. And I don't think Americans should complain. American players should complain. I believe, what is it, half and half? I'm trying to figure out. You know, I don't know at this second. I can't remember. It's half and half, right?
Yeah, it's half and half, and then you have to start seven Canadians on your starting lineup. Mandatory.
Right.
Seven.
Right.
That shouldn't be in the play. Why should that be like that? That's what doesn't make, at least if you want to get him on
the
roster, okay.
But Manasseh, hang on for a second, guys. John Cornish is the MVP last year in Calgary, okay? He would not be playing in the CFL if we had no Canadian content limit, because we would have just put an American in that position and it would have been done. The only reason why he was there, he was close enough to make a ratio decision to put him in there.
And
he since then he's gone and proved himself to be an elite caliber player. But he would never have had that opportunity if we did not have a Canadian content rule. Andrew Harris would never have been there. None of these Canadian players would have been here.
John Cornish came from the University of Kansas. John Cornish came from the University of Kansas. He proved himself in NCAA Division
My
One.
Point is
then
he
after
wouldn't
that,
have been in the Canadian rule.
No, you're missing the point. They didn't sign him and make him the starter. He came in and backed up Joffrey Reynolds for like 3 years. And during that time, they would play him in certain packages, and he was averaging like 7 yards a carry. And he proved himself, and that's how he earned the starting spot. Not because he was a Canadian, because Calgary
had no problem
with Canadians overall.
You're missing Christopher's
overall.
Point, though. Let me try it a different way. We mentioned a different guy, Andrew Harris. After the kind of year last year that he had, would it be fair to say he had a disappointing year last year, Christopher? If there was no Canadian content rule, they would have jettisoned him. He would have been gone. He would never have had a chance to recover.
They've jettisoned five of them so far.
There you go.
No, the point is the route they got to get on the teams. Those two guys had completely different routes than the majority of Canadians in the CFL, which get drafted through the Canadian draft, which come up through the CIS ranks. Andrew Harris got a tryout because G. Roy Simon convinced Wally Bunnell to give him a tryout, and he earned his stuff on the roster because he clearly has the talent to play with
but
the
But that
Americans.
Never would
There's
have
no
happened
there.
If there wasn't a ratio. Manasseh, that never
no, that's
would
my point.
Would,
he wasn't drafted. He was just given a tryout like all the
I know,
other
but
Americans.
They still
Manasseh,
well,
you're not listening. Quit being dense. Okay? And I'm sorry I said that. You're not listening. He would never have been given that opportunity coming out of juniors if he was not a Canadian.
They wouldn't even have considered it. They wouldn't even have considered it. What are you, crazy? Should we take the guy from Ohio State or from the CJFL?
No, that's my
Come
point.
On. I know,
if they had drafted him, if they had drafted him, your point would have been valid. But the fact that he had to have a regular tryout, a free agent tryout like the Americans do, to prove he was good enough to be on
but
the team in the first place.
Because he was Canadian, he
And let's
have got
also
that
remember
chance.
Wally gave
no
him a shot because he was a Canadian.
No, no, that, you missed the point because no CFL teams, no CFL teams prior to John Cornish were starting Canadian running backs. That's the point. There's no team has to start a Canadian at running back. That has never been a position where people put use as one of their seven starting spots. It's always offensive line, one or two defensive players, and maybe a receiver or two. It's never been
but
running
that,
back.
You see,
running back has been earned. John Cornish earned the right to start as a running back. Andrew Harris earned the right to start as a running back.
Of course, and every
Canadian
earns the right to play in the CFL.
No, there's specific
every
positions
Canadian.
That have been designated as American spots. Like quarterback,
well, because
or
of
running
the proliferation,
back, or historically.
Look, because Manasseh, it's because Canadian. Look, this is going to sound. I'm gonna have people call me and make fun of me again. Here we go. Because this is going to sound. This is going to sound stupid, but I'm sorry. It's just this simple. It's much easier to learn to be an offensive lineman than it is to be a running back. The talent pool for offensive linemen and the difference between offensive linemen, Canadians end up because it's a position where Canadians have success performing in that position. It's history, and that's what you keep missing. There's history here. It's not the first time that a Canadian running back had success. We've had always, as long as I remember, there's always been at least two or three running backs in the CFL that were Canadian. Yes, we're more used to the guys that run straight ahead and weighed 300 pounds like a bonk. You know, we had more of those guys
Jesse
back in
Lumsden.
The day. Yeah, right? Jesse Lumsden.
Sean Millington.
You know, these guys, Sean Millington was the beginning of the change where we had our fancy runners. You know, it's a kind of prejudice and a kind of discrimination. The coaches are American. And they're going to bring in American players if given the opportunity. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I don't blame them. But because the league says we're going to say you've got to bring Canadians in, and here are the stipulations. And Andrew Harris helps make other Canadians believe they can play a position that when I was younger, when I was 20, I'm 60 now, 40 years ago, there weren't that many fancy Dan running backs that were Canadian, you know. But there's always been one or two in the league, but mostly it was the guys that run north-south that don't go east-west to get. Exactly. You know, there's always been great running backs in Canada. This is not something that's new. You know, so don't portray it like it is. It's history here. There's, you know, the league has a history. It has a Canadian history, you know. Well, and I'm grateful that we're different. You know, you don't realize that, if you know, the first black quarterbacks, hello, Canada, first black coaches, Canada, you know, dude, it's we're different. We give people chances who don't normally get a chance. We're used to that. That's in our genes. That's in the league itself. And I love it. I think it's fantastic. And I'm not trying to throw any bombs over at the Americans. God, no. No, no. And not the NFL either. It's just that, you know, we're much easier going because we're going, well, we already know we're not as good as you, but we're going to play our best and kick your ass as best we can.
And we don't dwell on it, Frank. We don't dwell on that. We don't on that.
It
like
is what
Americans
it is.
Do.
See, you guys, do you remember when in the Major League Baseball when they used to ban black players? What was their reasoning behind that? Remember that whole thing? It was, we want to see our own guys on the field. That was the whole thing. And their fear was if they opened up the MLB to black players, they felt like
they
the black players were going to overwhelm
and
take over the league.
And they weren't
And
wrong.
What ended up happening, and that's my point. My point is when they came to the conclusion that on sports, it shouldn't be about where you're from, what you believe in, and where you came from, your race, whatever. It should be about what you can do on the field and earn your way.
I love your
That was
I
how they justified
analogy.
The blacks coming in.
I love your analogy, but I'm going to blow it up real easy right now. Well, we're in Canada. We're not in the U.S. We don't have to satisfy the black community that's in the United States that gets every opportunity to play football in Canada. Our baseball team, we play by the same rules. Because it's in the same league, we have the same rules. We're playing an American game in an American league, so we play by your rules. Basketball, same thing. We're playing an American game in an American league, we play by the American rules. But this is a Canadian league where we get to not discriminate against Canadians. By your definition, if we did what you did, we would be discriminating against the people who live in this country and the players who play in this country.
Oh,
the reason we have the reason we have the rule, see, here in Canada, we've had to protect a lot of different industries, our music industry, our entertainment industry. We promote our own here. And when they get real good, they go to the U.S. But we don't care. The point is, we keep giving our people a chance to be... you know, be successful, because there's this giant next door that'll step on us in a second and make things difficult for us. This is a country, Manasse, we're talking about. We're not talking about a 51st state. We have our own rules, and if Americans don't like our rules, there's America. You know, we're Canada. We do things our way because guess what? It's our house. It's our house. We do what we want. If you don't like it, here's the key, there's the door, don't let it slam you on the ass on the way out. Too bad. It's our country. We get to do what we want. We favor our people in this country in certain ways that we feel they don't have a fair chance when compared to the United States. Music industry, entertainment. We have rules, Manasse. The CFL is not an unusual thing. You'd have to convince a lot of different people in different organizations and convince them that promoting Canadians and Canadian football is a bad idea, because there's a lot of industries here, especially entertainment industry, that relies heavily on the protection of the Canadian government. And if you don't like it, I'm sorry, but we need it. It's just the way it is. We want our
it's
people
to
have
stay.
Fun too. Yeah. You know, we want to have
All
fun,
I'm
too.
All I'm saying is that it sounds just the same as when the white people in the 80s were complaining that the NBA
not.
Got too black.
But it's
and
not.
They had to have Larry Bird had to show
you're
up.
You're talking about a country.
It's
you're
all the point is
about
discriminating for whatever
yeah,
prejudice
country,
you may have, whether it's nationality, whether it's race.
Discrimination. They still use
that
the
doesn't mean anything.
The
point is that you're justifying discrimination on your end because of your
you're
patriotism.
Not.
And your point
is...
I'm not.
That's
saying,
what it is.
Quite frankly,
what's the difference?
Quite frankly, I think that the Americans
listen to what you're saying. You guys are saying we want to see
that
our
we're letting
guys.
Them in our country
one
at all.
One at a time.
Okay. The Americans should be thankful that we are allowing them in our country at all.
No, I don't think
all.
Any of them. I think if that
was the case, what type of league would you have? I mean, what are you talking about?
Canadian football team.
Okay.
You don't even have enough Canadian football players to field
way
the
over
team.
To the other side. Let's
all
just try to
teams.
Let's try
with
to keep the
people?
Pendulum somewhere in the middle, please. We cannot have as we will not have as good a league without the Americans. I will be the first.
No,
I have people laugh. I have people laughing at my picture that I made up for my graphic for CFL is that I put up there because it looks kind of universal if you follow what I'm saying. Well, it is universal. It says everything I believe in. I believe that the Canadian Football League is a combination of the best of the American players that want to come here and the best of the Canadian players that are here. And I happen to think that I feel great that we have American players here. And I hope the American players understand that it's important to us that we have players that we call our own. It isn't about prejudice. It's about being inclusive. We're not saying black players or American players aren't allowed. We're saying that also Canadian players are allowed. We're guaranteeing that also Canadians aren't discriminated against because they don't have the same kind of opportunity, the same kind of opportunity to be as good as the American football players. That's what we're saying. We're not saying anything else. We're just saying we're giving our Canadian football players, the kids that want to play football, an end game, a place to go after they go to school. We don't take it as seriously as you guys. We don't. I admit it.
Again, I'm not saying not to have Canadians. I'm saying at least it would be something if a guy earned it and it meant something, like a Canadian quarterback, right? The CFL has a rule that the Canadian quarterback doesn't count against the ratio, right? So if a Canadian QB was ended up being a starter, that means he had to earn it.
I don't think that
would be something worth celebrating because you guys could take pride in the fact that one of you guys stepped forward and earned something that wasn't given to him. That's my point.
It means something that
John Cornish is the MOP because he proved he's just as good, if not better, than all his American counterparts.
And that's because
that's my
he was
point.
Given an opportunity.
You guys should be celebrating, and rather than having this handicap, you should be wanting to see your guys earn their way, prove themselves, and rise
above
it.
They are earning their way.
Not
they
have
not
to have this weird handicap
they
where they
are
have to be
earning
put up on
their
the ball.
They wouldn't be on the team
in order
if
to
they
stand
didn't
on
earn
equal
themselves.
Shoulders.
They are earning their way. They just don't have – They listen, again, you really got to hear this part. They are handicapped, and that's what we're doing here. They're handicapping Canadian players because Canadian players, I guess that's not the new age way to say it. I should say Canadian players are more challenged to succeed in the Canadian Football League. So therefore, because of the challenges that they're up against, they get a little bit of a help so that they can at least get a chance to play because we call it the Canadian Football League. We're just going around in circles, Manasseh. You're not going to convince Canadians that they're not good enough to play in the CFL.
Nobody's saying they're not good enough.
No,
I'm saying
you can
instead of having a bunch
American
of guys
players,
who aren't, just let the ones who are good enough play, not the ones who aren't.
Won't be a, there
That's
won't
my
be a
point.
Single Canadian but in
Manasseh,
the league.
You're,
designed it
Manasseh,
so guys
you're
who aren't good enough to be on the roster
of,
have to
you're
be on
You're saying 98%
it.
Of the Americans are, and 2% of the Canadians, that's the ratio that it should be. You never said that personally, but by listening from you, that's the way it sounds. You know what? You're a player. You're 350 pounds. You're a lineman. You're a runbacker, Cornish, Harris, whatever sort of thing. Us Canadians like to see Canadians play in the Canadian Football League. I don't mind
no, you
Americans.
Don't.
I love
you, when a quarterback throws the ball down the field and the receiver catches a touchdown, you're not asking yourself, oh, did the Canadian catch it? No, you're saying, did the guy catch it, period. Because
I'm
your team
has
to score and
have
to win.
I'm looking at my
team. You're actually looking at a game and saying, well, is that guy a Canadian or is he not? Aren't you watching the game?
I don't do that, no. I look at my team.
That's my point. None of us do that. Why would you – so why
you
should
know
that
what?
Even matter?
But Manasseh,
most people don't even
said,
know the
said,
teams even know the difference.
It's a given. Manasseh, it's a given.
Watch a Canadian do well. Okay? We're a little prouder about our game.
I've watched CFL games
Andrew
with Ryder fans,
ripping up the field.
And they assume,
every white player is Canadian.
And that's what they do. That's why they thought they had that Canadian Air Force, right, in Saskatchewan from 2009 to 2011. And they thought they were all Canadian because they were all white. Not considering that Weston Dressler was an American, Kerry Culk was an American. They just assume that if they see a white player, especially if he's a receiver, they assume that because he's a Canadian.
That's sounding a little bit racist.
Outside of race, most people can't even distinguish who's Canadian or not. Like Shamar Chambers in Edmonton. That's a great Canadian receiver.
How many times
in Canada?
Listen to how they talk in interviews, and we know the Americans.
No, you don't, because if you listen to Jerome Messam sounds like he's from Detroit, Michigan.
Okay, but Manasseh,
I couldn't tell the difference where he's from.
You're missing.
You know what I'm saying? You're missing representing it, man.
You're missing the
because
point.
Because most people don't know who these guys
the
are.
You're missing the point, though. You're missing the point. You're missing severely the point.
No.
The point is, when you buy your ticket before you go in the door to a CFL game, you know already that it's a Canadian game. There's Canadian players, and there's Canadian mothers, fathers, uncles, brothers, sisters, girlfriends, boyfriends, whatever, going to the game to watch the game because of their family that's there. You know, there's more to Canadian football than just how good the players are. It's a family thing. Football in Canada, these people are diehards. These are people who work very hard to play the game of football. I've spent some time talking to some of these draft picks that you're talking about. These are lunch pail people. These are people who are playing a game that the odds are stacked against them. And we in Canada say it's a Canadian Football League, and we do care. On draft day, we do care, the Canadians that are being drafted. We don't have a draft day for the American players, so as far as I'm concerned, we care more about the Canadian players that are drafted. What does that tell you? That's how important Canadians are, and that's all we want. We're having our little time in the sun, and I want to know that when I watch my university team, that there might be actually a player on that team that plays in the CFL, like a Drury, you know? It's fantastic. I love it that it's got Canadian players in it. I wouldn't watch it if they were all American.
That's
the part you got to shove in your head.
I don't want it to be all American. I just want the Canadians who are good enough to be there. Like Andre Drury, he's good enough to be on a team regardless if there's a Canadian role.
Unfortunately, you know, it's the same.
That's my point. You guys are only naming the stars who are good enough anyway. You're not talking about the 10 guys who shouldn't even be on any team's roster that are on there because they're Canadian.
You don't understand.
How many Canadians are in the NFL? How many Canadians?
There's probably about 15 right now.
Yeah.
I can name you like five off the top of my head.
How many players in the whole league?
I don't know. I don't know. There's maybe like 1,000. But that's only because they come from the CIS. And the CIS has only so many schools compared to NCAA's got like 350 schools.
I don't care what school you come from. If you could play the position, you're good to go with me.
That's all I'm saying too, man. That's my whole point.
I don't care if you're from Jamaica or you're from Hawaii.
Thank you. That's all I've been trying to say the whole
quarterback
time.
It
should not matter where you're from. It should be matter of what you can do. That's my point.
I don't care if you're black,
that's all I've been saying.
Chinese or yellow or whatever. I don't care.
There you go, man.
If you play the position, then you can do it.
That's it.
I have no prejudice in my skin whatsoever. I don't care.
Yeah, then you should. So you.
But you
then
know,
he's
saying
what
I'm
saying.
Color of skin and stuff like that, that's just like, that's going way too far.
No, I'm
you're
telling
not,
you
you're
what
not
I've experienced with Canadians who try to decipher who's a Canadian, who's not on the teams. And what I often see, especially from Rider fans, is they always assume that the white guy's a Canadian. That's what my experience
is
dealing with
that's,
Rider fans.
Have you ever
fans.
Looked in the stands at a Riders game? Other than Belton Johnson,
most of you guys
yeah,
can't even distinguish
just
who's Canadian.
Just because you see mostly all white doesn't,
I mean,
doesn't mean that they don't like black people or whatever sort
no,
of thing.
That's not my point. I'm not saying that they don't like black people.
No.
Listen to what Christopher said. Christopher said, based on the way they talk, I can tell where they're from. Think about how that's a prejudice statement in itself.
No, but the farmers
can. If he hears a black player who talks, you know, with Ebonics or has some slang to his talk, oh, he must be an American.
No, I think he's more talking about the
that's
Canadians.
That's what he's implying.
No, He's talking about language.
He said yourself, based on the way they talk, I can tell where they're from. And
I
know that's
talking
about
CFL,
talking about
your
black
or white or whatever.
Guess what country I'm from, eh?
Yeah, not that
guess
many Canadians
what country
say
I'm
anymore.
From,
that's,
eh?
That's an old stereotype that's just not true anymore. I mean, how many Canadians do you actually see saying that are under the age of 35?
Well, none.
No, nobody says that. That's my point. What he was talking about was people who speak with Ebonics or slang. I know that's what he's inferring. He just doesn't want to say it now. But that's what he meant
by
that statement.
What part of Canada you're from, by the way, most people are talking, okay? So,
yeah.
You were talking about this. My point was, how do you distinguish between the Americans and the Canadians? You said, I can tell by the way they talk.
And I told you, that's not true because there's several black Canadian players who talk just like the Americans do. Now, outside of that, how are you distinguishing that?
How do South Dakotans talk? How do people from South Dakota talk, from Fargo? I mean, they've got a whole different, like we
language.
Have Nucci. We all forget about the language thing. You see, now we're starting to really get off on the rails here. I think we beat this dead horse. At the end of the day, Manasseh, and at the end of the day, the rest of the world, here in Canada, we have a game called the Canadian Football League. We also have this high idea that we can have Canadians be an integral and important part of the game. How they arrive there is not the point. All we care about is that they're there. It is. That's just the way it is. How they arrive doesn't matter. The important thing is we have a Canadian Football League that has Canadian players in it, and we're proud of the league that we have. And it brings
saying everything that the racists used to say here in America about white players and black players. That's exactly what they were saying. We said,
as long as we have our guys here, we're
going to support the league.
I'm going to get this out. Manasseh, I'm not married to your discrimination. Your problems in your country are your problems.
You're blind to it from your own perspective because of your patriotism. That's my point.
No.
You're blinded because of your patriotism. There's nothing wrong with that.
Well,
everybody does.
Don't phone in then and don't watch the CFL and just keep your NFL in college and high school.
Look, man, this is a sports talk show where people want to hear interesting discussion and banter with interesting topics. They don't want to hear bland stuff that you can get from TSN or you can get from anywhere else.
Stop. The Major League
Soccer.
Have
you guys ever watched
Major
ESPN?
Manasseh, have you ever paid attention around other than what you see and what you think? Major League Soccer is only allowed to have a few imports, not even half the team. Only a few imports. I think it's only like two or three or something. In Europe, all the soccer leagues in England and Italy and et cetera, they only allow one or two imports.
Right, so do you know why the MLS has a designated import rule? It's because of financial reasons.
I don't
want to
get into why. I don't want to get into why.
It's not because of a prejudice because they want to have Americans on their team. It's because they can't afford to
pay for the players.
We're
talking CFL here. We're not talking soccer. Hello?
No. Listen.
Oh, my God.
50% of the players in the CFL are American. That is a better ratio than any other league in any other country that has a sport. Okay? So me, as a Canadian, I'm going, they have two or three, and we have half. I think we're a pretty fair, inclusive country by virtue of the way life is in different countries. Every country protects their own interests. That's just the way it is. You can't apply your problems. Americans are bigots. They still call a black man who's their president. They use the N-word to refer to him. They still think Redskins is a good idea for a name for a football team. The
don't go there, Frank, because Canadians are just as racist too. So let's not go there.
If you were in Toronto back in the day,
they used to call blacks boy, and they used to use the N-word all the time too.
So it's
the same wherever you go.
But Manasseh, what I'm saying is it's not an American thing.
It's
we only got 90 seconds left. You're throwing the assumption that you're not saying it.
The only thing about that is because of American television.
We're just promoting our own players.
From your youth. That's a different. That's a whole nother subject.
Hey, good night, everybody. Thanks for joining us on the Canada Frank Live Show. It's been a slice. Let's talk CFL some another night. Good night. Cheers.
Good night.
Sorry, Frank.
No worries, buddy. Listen,
CFL only, and Darren's out tonight because of my birthday in 2 hours. So good night, folks. Have a good night.
Hey.
Good night, Schmitty. Happy birthday, bro.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, everyone. It was an interesting show. We got into politics again. I hate when we get into politics. But as the host of the program, I want to make this very clear. I love our American players that are in the league. I love our Canadian players that are in our league. And it's important to note that there are limitations in leagues everywhere in the world. And they're done for a reason, and that is to ensure that their athletes get a chance to participate in their leagues.
Some countries only allow two. We in Canada split it in half when it comes to football. So thanks for tuning in, everybody. Hope to hear from you next time. It was a slice, as somebody mentioned.